Wednesday, Shiur for Women, Baruch Hashem, number 15 of the winter of Tovshinayin Tes, November 28th, Chav Kislev, Wednesday of Vayeshev, section 4, Perek 4, paragraph 2, talking about Shema and its brachas, what we're accomplishing and what we're doing when we say Shema. So we're up to paragraph 2. Paragraph 1, he explains that the idea of Hashem Echad is that everything in the world is nothing has imperative existence other than Hashem. Hashem is responsible for everything. Of evil, especially. Well, first he deals with, even though it looks like things have a nature and a teva, but everything is pumped into them and is constantly running as the will of Hashem. Then he talks about evil, which seems to be against Hashem's will. It seems to be because Hashem is only good. So Hashem had a reason for creating evil in the world. That has to do with Bechira. That has to do with mankind being charged with eliminating evil. And this will ultimately result in Yichud Hashem, Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad meaning not just Hashem is one. Not just Hashem is one and there's no two, Hashem is everything. Hashem is the only thing that has objective existence. And Hashem is all that exists. That's what it means. Everything else is the will of Hashem. And that's brought out when evil, which seems to be against the will of Hashem, in the most stark way of exhibiting this, is by having evil and then evil seemingly is misgaber, but the evil is eradicated and results in what we say, it dissipates. Not only does it dissipate, but we see retroactively, it's understood and seen what the evil accomplished in terms of Hashem's total game plan. And one of the things that it accomplished is that when it's banished, when it's eradicated, then it brings out Yichud Hashem in a much stronger way than otherwise. So we talked about that. Then he talks about day and night have different portions, like the changing of the gods. So you want to renew this belief in the daytime and in the nighttime, in the morning and the night. And we're testifying, we're bearing witness to Hashem Echad. And that relates to Hashem's existence, Hashem's authority, Hashkachas Hashem, everything. Everything is totally in Him, and it's roundabout a lot of times. But ultimately, that will be brought out. Giloy Yichudo Yisbarach. And when we say Shema Yisrael, we're testifying to that. And we do it in the morning and at night. But it's deep. If we go continue now on parent base. We name him Ashi Yeshod Lahavchin who Yabori is Baruch Hu Melech Al Kol Riosa. Right? It was called Kabbalah's Omal Hu Shemayim. So he is going to give his explanation of exactly what Melech means. We really talked about it, but he's going to give, Ramchal is going to give his own explanation of Malchus and what it means when it says Hashem is Melech, and how that fits in with this general idea of Hashem Echad.
Upirish Inyan Zehu.
Because when you say Hashem is Melech, you're really saying something as if there's a characteristic or a trait that Hashem has that is dependent on other things. It's dependent on a nation. It's dependent on followers. Again, Melech Olam is a famous phrase. So, first of all, how does Melech fit into the idea of Yichud? And also, you have to explain why Hashem's intrinsic shleimus and perfection and non-dependence on anything else, so how does that fit in with the idea of Hashem's Melech? Ki omnam amitas mitziyusu yizbarach hu davar. It's true, we just established that Hashem's existence, the reality of Hashem's existence, Udover built in Nitlev, Zuloso Klau, is something that's not dependent on anything else that exists. Udilti Mishaches, Zuloso, it's not even comparable to anything else. It's in its own, like, it's in its own world. You can't compare anything to Hashem. Ki hinehu motzui muchra v'shalei mitzad atzmo. He is reality, objective reality. He inherently exists, and he's shalei, no chesronos, perfect mitzad atzmo. Ve'lo shum yachas im acher klal, no relationship with anything else that he can compare it to. There is no there's nothing that he depended on. Nothing that contributes to his being, nothing that supports his being. When you're focusing on this reality, Nikra'ehu b'shem Eloka Baruch Hu. Eloka meaning takif, kale, Bal Yicholes, omnipotent, who can do anything, nothing can stop him. That's Adon, Eloka, sorry. Da'ainu ha'motzui ha'mukrach mitzad atzmo, u'chemo shezacharnu. Ba'omnon, now comes the however. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu did want that things should exist, and really, we should say, things should seemingly exist, they do exist, but you can't compare their existence to Hashem's existence, because their existence is subjective and dependent. And it wasn't just subjective and dependent when they were created, but every moment. Their existence is subjective and dependent. Hashem's is not, so there's no comparison, but Hashem did want other things to seemingly exist, we'll call it. V'chulam tluyim bo. They're all dependent on him. V'mitziyusam, v'chol b'chinosam, v'chmoshu z'chayim, everything about them, any characteristic they have, any power they have, anything from the number system to gravity, to events, to objects. That's why Hashem is called Adon Kol or Adon Olam, right? Because he is the master of everything. Akol mimenu, akol shalo, uhu shalat akol kiritzono. Right? So these are words we are comfortable with. It's very much more difficult to put it into practice in life. And to feel this way and to pattern one's life in a way that is reconciled with this reality, which to what bitachon is. Bitachon is, as we say, right, Yamuna is the tree and bitachon is the fruit. This is all very nice words, but then when you have life, you live, you have this trouble, and this obstacle, that obstacle, and this person did this to you, and that person did that to you, and you have this trouble, and parnoso, or health, or children, or relationships, or anything, all the things that people have in their lives. So that it's, you know, it's hard to, but that's what we say when we say Amunah is the tree and Bitachon is the fruit. But the only reason I'm saying that is because these words might sound repetitious and boring, and of course I'm Jewish, I believe this is true, but if you said it three times a day until you really believed it, your kishkus would probably be a worthwhile endeavor. And then you see your life will change. Because then, half the things we do, we would realize are pointless. From getting angry at someone, to wasting our time, doing things that really are not really the point. But okay, we'll wait till we learn Shara Bitachon for that. That's exactly what Bitachon is. Putting into practice all of these beautiful words that Hashem controls everything, is everything, nothing can happen unless Hashem wants it to. Hashem is the master of all, omnipotent, all-knowing, all-seeing. Nothing even compares to Him. Nothing can help you unless Hashem wants Him to. Nobody can do anything. Right? So then when you get into life, you know, yeah, but that neighbor's throwing his garbage on my repentant. So I'm just saying you shouldn't deal with it, but believe me, you deal with it in a different way when you realize he's wrong. You gotta stop throwing the garbage on your repentant. But you just deal with it in a different way when you realize that it would not have happened if Hashem didn't want it to happen. That's why you deal with it a different way. Your attitude is different, your tone is different, your thoughts are different. You're different, a different life. And that's what we learn about Shara Bitachon. We learn about the implementation of this Emuna into daily life, with the seven things of Perek Beis and Perek Gimel. And, okay. But now we're talking about Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So now you're safe. You could pay lip service to it. You could say you believe it. You don't have to put it into practice in your life. We're not talking about that. That's Bitachon. We're talking about professing the belief that it's so. But you do have to realize the omek to which it's true. You have to believe that 2 and 2 is 4 is a creation of Hashem. And time is a creation of Hashem. And all the laws of physics and chemistry and laws of identity, A equals A, all laws are just the laws that Hashem created, right? That's why it was commonplace in the Beis HaMikdash that space went condensed. There was Kfitzas HaDerech, there was everybody fit into a small space. Om Nitzufim Mishtachim Mervachim, Mokom Aron Einam Min Amida, right? Kadosh Kadoshim inexplicably measured 20 Abbas across, and it was 10 Abbas on each side of the Aron, and the Aron also took up space. Like all laws of time and space didn't exist, and we can't wrap our heads around that. So we say Hashem made a miracle, but even when we say miracle, we're sort of not happening that a miracle. Miracle just means it's not the norm. But we think that that's hard for Hashem to do. It's hard for Hashem to do. It's called a nace. But it's not true. Hashem has no limitations whatsoever. Hashem created all the laws of time and space, and two things can't be, right? Lubavitch has, Chabad has a whole deep explanation of this. Hanukkah base about the menorah burning for 8 days. They point out that in the laws of physics, the burning would only be a result of the the oil getting less. You can combustion on the oil. If the oil is not going down, then it can be a fire. So what's burning? The burning is the oil getting used up. It's a wick. It's burning. Right? So that's a real nation. The question is, was the snare the same miracle? A snare for Erbaish, but snare and it will call. And was sorry, Menu, that the candle burned from Friday to Friday? Was that the same nation? Was Hanukkah unique in some way? And a different nation, different things happened. So, but that's it. Like, there's no. 2 and 2 can equal 5. So that's what we declare when we say Hashem Echad. But now he's explaining Malchus. So this first paragraph of paragraph 2 is saying what Adam means. He's reiterating Adam is omnipotent, Adam is in control, Adam is objective with seals, he controls everything, he's the master of everything, he tells everything what to do, everything's function is dependent on him, no matter how basic it seems to us. To be embedded in the working of the world, but it's still only a creation that Hashem created, and He can revoke it at will. So that's one angle of Hashem, and in that He would be called Eloka or Ado. For Ulam Zos, Odrot of Betuba Vachazdo, and this is the classic Ramchal view of the world, because Hashem wants to do Chesed. Chesed overflows. So the very fact that he created something else other than him, and again, I have to hear the word seemingly, but he did create something that looks like it's not him. And it looks like it's independent of him. This standard looks like it's independent from Hashem. Let's admit it. That's why it's so hard for us to really believe in our kishka is everything we're talking about. Because the human mind says, well, the shtender is here, and that's one of Luke's laws, I think, even. If nothing destroys the shtender, it's going to just keep on existing. That's not true. It's not true. And the number line is not infinite. Nothing is, I wouldn't say it's something. Well, it is, of course, it's in a very subtle sense, but I don't feel like I'm encouraged when I look at the shtender and I think it's going to be around in 2 seconds, but I really have no idea if it will or not. Anyway, so Hashem did an amazing thing, and in Kabbalah, this is major. It's major, major. We say major, Bol, and Kibbutz HaShemayim V'Saaretz. The Kabbalah, the fact that Hashem created something, and something either exists or seemingly exists, or exists in a certain machina, as we say, other than Hashem, is already breaks all the rules, breaks all the barriers, breaks. It's already a tremendous chiddush. It has a name, Tzitzum. Klipo, it has names in Kabbalah, because it's really much more amazing. What do they say in Chabad? We say Hashem created Yesh Me'ayim, but He really created Ayim Me'yesh, because the Yesh is Hashem, and everything else is really Ayim, it really doesn't exist. So Hashem created Ayim Me'yesh. Ulo, Ratzo, Betulo, Mechazdo, but he Hashem's meitiv and chesed is overflowing. And this is why, if you've ever come across the phrase, probably nobody here says, maybe you do, but there's a paragraph that says, together with Hashem's greatness, we find His humility. And many examples, but this is the most cosmic example that could possibly exist. that because of Hashem's gedula, he created and he wants to do chesed, so he created something else exists. Something else seemingly exists. Something else looks like it exists. Something else. Except it didn't mean anything. Rata Batu Khadal Hashkal Kamayakal Ban Vasun Ban Vaso with his humility as Rub Kavaldo and the Syakes of the Frog. This is really a lot to Chabad about this, whether it's or Makif or Mali Kalom and Makim Kalom, and it's a very Kabbalistic concept. The very fact that Hashem is the Syakes to us, he gave us the Torah. Deals with us, that he created, and he embedded everything with a certain nature. That's huge, huge. And really, if we be more of a philosophical bent and more of a Kabbalistic bent, it's a huge problem. We think Russia, Matolo, and Sadi Baralo is like, oh man, that's so hard. That's kid stuff. How did Hashem create something else other than him? That's the real question. Anyways, but he did. The Ramchal in this sefer does not go into the Kabbalah of like how it was done. Because everything has a spiritual physics. Nothing. Hashem, if you learn Ramchal, you get used to the idea that Hashem never snaps his fingers and does a magic trick. Hashem never pulls a rabbit out of the hat. There's a way that the rabbit comes out of the hat. There's a way for rabbits to be born without a hat. Right? That's what we call tefa. But even when Hashem does a nation, the word Maral spends hundreds of pages explaining that a nation has its own set of rules, its own spiritual physics, its own way it works. It's just on a different plane. It's like you're in a different dimension. And in that dimension, physics has different rules, and chemistry has different rules, and time has different rules, and space has different rules, everything's different. Yeah.
We would say that Hashem couldn't create something other than himself, and we would be limited to abilities, and this way we're enhancing.
Well, I never said that, but I think that sounds great, but I've never seen that, Sarah. Uh-huh. Well, first of all, obviously he could, but he did.
Right.
But he didn't do it to prove a point.
Right.
But that's like saying, let me rephrase your question. Why is that called Kabbalah Tzitzum? It should be called, what's the opposite of Tzitzum? It should be called
expansion.
Yeah. But that's like the old question, can Hashem make a rock that he can't pick up? In other words, the fact that he can't is because it goes. Can Hashem make another Hashem? No. You don't have to do everything. No. When it goes against the nature of the essence of the very being of Hashem, then it's not a kasha, why can't he do it? Can Hashem destroy himself? No. What do you mean, no? Right? So it's sort of the same thing I feel. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I think of it. If you say it your way, then it's sort of like, can Hashem destroy himself? So what is a tzimtzum? But it was a good question. But the phrasing of the question should be, it's not really a tzimtzum, it's an expansion. That's a very good question.
But it was really,
oh, I thought you had a philosophical question.
No, a very practical question.
Yes, yes. But if I get a good question like Mrs. Lurie's, I'm going to be sweating. Do whatever you want. I'm fine. Okay, let's go. So Hashem decided.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, but I couldn't even. Your question is. Let me rephrase your question. Like, it says, "Miderech hatov lehekit." That's Ramchal. But then you really, it's sort of avoiding the issue that Hashem has to do that. It was because to say he had to do it is, Hashem doesn't have to do anything. On the other hand, the Ramchal implies that there is a flaw in Hashem's goodness if he's not mative with others. That he's so told that it overflows into being mative. But that sounds a little like, so he has to. But that can't be. So it must, this can't, I don't know, I mean, it really can't be dealt with. And I think Chabad answers just no. That ultimately you just say Rotzah. He wanted to. You can't say he had to. He wanted to be mated. He wanted. Right? What's the Lashon? Rotzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Valdiru B'tachtonim. Rotzah. And you know, and you can't really explain Rotzah. Why do I like vanilla more than chocolate? So, well, sometimes there is an explanation. Maybe if my father rewarded me with vanilla. No, no, this goes on all the time. To this day, I can't eat butterscotch candy because my mother, Ashala, once caught me eating butterscotch candy when I wasn't supposed to. In those days, there were no police and there were no rules and no laws, and she hit me. She didn't beat me. Nobody beat that. That's the flaw of the whole system. Is that, of course, you can't beat a kid up, but you hit a kid. That's not called beating a kid up. It's hitting. And to this day, I don't like butterscotch, and borer, because in my mind is associated with getting hit. Because that makes an impression on you. And if a person was in a car accident while they were drinking a Coke, it's very possible that they won't be able to drink Coke anymore for the rest of their lives. So always associated with this happened. So, but Hashem doesn't have it. So he was Ratzah, Leos Valdir, B'tachtonim. Don't give me butterscotch, okay? I'm not really. No, I can't do it. I forgot the name of the candy. There was a very, probably was in kosher. It was like a candy bar. It was butterscotch. I can't even say the word butterscotch without cringing. Anyway, so Hashem, okay, we're getting off. I don't know, we shouldn't really go off into such philosophy. We want to stick with Ramchal. So because of the Hanova, he was Mashkel Kvodo, and to have a connection to Nivraov. Because Hashem is really so super duper transcendent that logically it should be impossible for him to have any relationship. Right? We always talk about relationship. It really should be not possible. He's kadosh. He's so far beyond our hasogas. Tanya points out, let's not show them the feast of a cloud. Hashem is so, we have no conception of Hashem. The truth is, we don't. Because there's different bechinas in which Hashem appears. Hashem appears as Mavali Kolomen, it's called Soyu Kolomen. For Rotzel, and Hashem wanted Leos Lema Madregos Melech El Am. So Hashem made a contrivance that really shouldn't be true. And he created as if he's a Melech, and we're his Am, doing his bidding and being subservient to him and obedient to him, and he created that. So Yechoshev Lehem the Rosh Ulamanek Ulehiskavet Kivayochu Bom, right? Because we think like the absolute best thing you can do is to make a Kiddush Hashem, but the Ramchal is saying, like, Hashem doesn't care. Hashem doesn't need your Kiddush Hashem. But yet we live with the idea that our job is to be the Farsay Shemo Ba'olam, which is just what Chal is saying. Hashem is a contrivance. Hashem, of course, he wanted to be mated with us, so he created a system in which he's the Melech, we're the Am, and he will be Mechubet, Kvayachal. It really should be like, we should shake when we say such a sentence. But that's what it is. He will be Mechubet. He will be honored through our pledging allegiance to him, like a life and blood, flesh and blood, Melech, that Taka gets honor because he's the king of such a powerful, rich multitude country. And we say that it's about Hashem, and it's even a halachic principle that Barov Am Hadras Melech. That's why, you really, I don't know if people do it, people don't do it, I don't want to get into this discussion, but you're really supposed to have one person unless you're making Kiddush for everybody. You're not supposed to have everybody making Kiddush themselves. Because Barov Am Hadras Melech, and when one person is mostly everybody, so it's called Rov Am. But if every person individually makes Kiddush, so it's, you don't have the Barovam, you just have a bunch of individuals. And I am aware that people...
Chabad do it differently.
Okay.
Every man in the Chabad house makes their own kiddush. Okay.
So we have to check the Rav Shulchan Aruch,
right.
Which I will maybe do. We have a 2-week break now, people. You have time to review, and time to decide you want to learn something else, or time to decide maybe... I think 2 times a week is too much for the class. That's what I feel. Okay, you have to think. You have to reassess. You have to have a 2-week vacation to reassess. But I do have to check the Rav Shulchan Aruch. It would be very interesting to me. It would show up by Kiddush. Kiddush is the most obvious. Every male all of us makes his own Kiddush. I mean, the rationale, I can tell you very simply, that we're afraid that they won't be mechaveh, to be yotzei, or we're afraid that they won't concentrate on every word because people space out. So you're better off being mevater on the value of Barov Am Hadras Melech and not have the risk of someone really not being yotzei Kiddush because they're totally spaced. Because I look around during Kiddush and everybody but my wife is spacing out.
What about Khaled? The same thing?
Yeah. Well, Khaled, everybody hopefully could concentrate for 7 seconds. It's the Kiddush at night that's, it's a long time. It takes a long time. And you're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you're talking about this, and you're talking about that, and it's like long. And it's really pierced people's attention span of 15, 20 seconds. So till now, we're learning important stuff. Till now he talked about Eloka and Adon, and now he's talking about Melech HaOlam. Melech HaOlam is a chiddush. Melech HaOlam is his humility. Melech HaOlam is that he decided through his desire to be native, to have a connection with the world. That he is the Melech, and we are his subjects. And when you create such a relationship, then automatically we honor Hashem by doing his will. And we make Kiddush Hashem. But that always implies that Hashem is lacking something if we don't. And we're adding to his luster by being obedient. But that's not true. It's only because he artificially created a contrivance called Melech and Am so that we should be able to soak up the benefits of doing the king's will and bonding with the king. So he has a relationship with us. He says, look at my children are so obedient, and we make Kiddush Hashem, and he likes that, even though it's an absurdity. But that's what he did for our sake. We have to be obedient. So as we have a relationship with him, not only of Eloka and Adon, but also, I shouldn't have said that, because in Eloka and Adon we don't have a relationship with him. Eloka and Adon is really a description of his objective reality. And then you say Melech HaOlam, and that's so Chayavim Anu Lahakir. So with that Bechina of Melech HaOlam, Chayavim Anu Lahakir B'chol Yom, we have to pledge allegiance to him. And we have to pledge allegiance to the to the flag, right? They used to do that when I was growing up. Now you probably get sued by the ACLU and they fire the teacher, put him in jail for corrupting young minds. L'kayim al-chuso, probably President Trump, Pledges Allegiance. L'kayim al-chuso aleinu, l'ishtabin eilo v'l'gzeroso, to be obedient, to follow whatever he says to do, ka'avodim el-malkom. L'zeh nikra kabolas o'malku shemayim. V'nichwa l'nyonim v'fotu z'eshon v'shemayim Yisrael. How? The haynu, so the Derech L'Chaim, which is Rav Chaim Friedlander, learns through the word Elokeinu. Because when you're saying Elokeinu, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, so you're saying we have a relationship with Him, and He's our Elokim, and that is where we are saying that He is our Melech, and we're Mekabel Omal Chushamay. So while we had an interesting interpretation of where it lies in the first parish of Kriyash Makabel Omal Chushamay, we said a beer a few weeks ago based on a certain paragraph that Mr. Loring pointed out, even a certain paragraph in one of the 30 things of Chavis Al-Vavos, but the Ramchal is saying differently. At least according to, he's obviously saying something else, it's not clear what. Rav Chaim Friedlander learns that you're doing that Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. Hashem is, you're saying Hashem, you know, as He is. And then you're saying Elokeinu, He has a relationship with us, and He's our Adon, and He's our Hashem. Now the question is, if Chaim Friedlander is a good question, he says, Adon Olam Hashem Malach, Baterem Kol Yitzir Nifra. Now how could that be? If the concept of Melech is, so how can you be a Melech? Baterem Kol Yitzir Nivra means before anything was created. Before anything was created, before time was created, before space was created, before existence was created. So how can you be a Melech beforehand? So I understand it that Taka only means potentially. Because then we say, La'eshma asav v'chetzol kol, then when he made things, because that was his ratzon, la'eshma asav, when things were made, b'chetzol, due to his will, kol, everything, azai, then, melech shemo nikra, then he was actually called a melech. So the double of Hashem Malach would have to mean he had the potential to be a melech, because he could have created things, and he had that desire to, or he had that, you know, and that's the pshat, because if he was, it has to mean that, or else the sentence doesn't make sense. Because it says, I don't know what Moshe Molach, the Terem Kol Yitzir Mishra, before anything was created, and then we turn around and say, La'isma Aso L'chetzo Kol, that things were created, L'chetzo, I call everything, Azai Melech Shmo Nikra. So, I used to understand it, that then it was Nikra. Then he was called Melech, because there were people around to praise him and call him Melech. But according to the Ramchal's interpretation, he isn't even a Melech before things were created. Ah, it says in Adon Olam, Hashem Molach, Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. So, Rav Chaim Friedlander, I see in this Peirush on Derech Hashem, says that it just means potentially. Potentially. And Shmo Nikra doesn't mean what I used to think it means, that it means we declare him as Melech, but it means actually. So I don't know if Shmo Lachter calls it Nikra means potentially, that every time Friedlander learns. And Leis Masov Chetzo Kol as I Melech Shmo Nikra, that means actually.
He actually becomes a Melech.
So in Elokeinu, I don't know the vision of Melech Malchei Hamlochim, Molech, Bekol Briozo, Vayom Tachtonu, Lekabel, O Malchuso, Vishtabed Elo, Lekmosho Zacharno. So, the Chaim Friedlander learned that it's in the word Elokeinu, which makes, I understand that, but that's when you're declaring the other relationship. And Hashem Achad is going to mean that, the way Rashi learns, that that in the future, when Mashiach comes, then there will be a Gilui Yichudo over the whole world, not just over people who declare themselves to be Avodim of Hashem, but it will be Hashem Echad over the whole world. But that's how Rashi learns. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu now, Hashem Echad in the future. And the Gemara asks, well, now he's also Echad. I said, yeah, but now you say a Zayin Emes. So, something missing is the right word. You have to be careful what word to use. Okay, so I'm doing vacation and I have to do homework. I have to look at Rav Shofanor because it's good. So, the next class will be Sunday.